Welcome back, guys. My name is Dimitri Sebastian.
And I'm Wes Kendall.
And we are back in session where your fitness and lifestyle questions are answered and bro science is put to the test.
All right, guys, welcome back. This week, we're just kind of doing a double combo for our topics. First, we're going to go over some updates and see what we're doing with everything. And then we're going to go over how to boost your immune system and create a good defense. All right. And then after that, we'll finish up with how to become a good personal trainer and what it all takes to go into that. So stick around at the end for some listener questions. And thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Look at the way that I glisten. I saw me dripping. Put it in gear if you gave me permission. Gave her some back shots. She walked out the clinic. Now she gonna be so for a little
minute. And welcome back, guys, for another episode. I am exhausted. I have been out in the sun all weekend. How has your weekend been, Wes?
More chill than yours. You actually got out of the heat and, you know, got some exploring done from what I hear.
I thought I was going to get out of the heat. I ended up just staying out in the sun anyways. It was funny. Yeah. So I went up to Flagstaff this weekend, and that kind of takes over one of my wins for later. Mm-hmm. But we went to Flagstaff, did some hiking down Sedona, and it was great. I was out in the sun.
Oh, so you actually went down to Sedona to hike?
Yeah.
Okay.
We did both. We did a day at each.
That's cool.
And, you know, we're doing like miles and miles out in the sun. Of course, you know, you go tarps off trying to get a tan, you end up just burning your shoulders. Mm-hmm. We never learn from those kind of mistakes.
Of course.
But overall, like, it was super fun. And then I got back to Phoenix and like I stepped out of the car and it was like, oh,
blow dryer.
Like, what happened? No.
Yeah. This air is hot and hurts my mouth.
Yeah. Well, one of the weirdest parts about the entire time we were there was, as many of you are probably aware by now, there was an ordinance put out about how we're Arizona, because we're not doing well on COVID numbers, if you've been paying any attention to that. And a lot of areas are now saying, you know, masks in public is now like law. Right. But also that's only been it's only been since like 8 o'clock last night. So it started like Saturday night.
Yeah, like Saturday or... Some places started Friday, but for the most part, Saturday.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I've also seen it enforce exactly 0%, right. But I haven't given that enough time.
I went to Sprouts today, and 95% of the people wear masks.
Yeah.
I went to Bash's on Friday night, and like two people were in masks.
I feel like this is more about the population of who goes to Sprouts and like who goes to Bash's.
Yeah. Probably.
Well, it's because like, when I go to Sprouts, like, because I have, like, my masks that I have a couple, like, disposable ones, and, and like, I will say that I'm a part of the problem sometimes where it's, like, I pick and choose when I wear it.
Right.
I don't go out of the house often at all, really. It's more of a personal issue than a health issue. But, like, I will wear it to Sprouts no matter what because I know I'm going to be, like, the one guy there, which I feel like is probably the best way to get people to wear masks. Like, the more people do it, the more people are going to feel like assholes.
Right.
But it was in Flagstaff... It was taken like very seriously. I would say
everyone
like
walking outside was wearing one. And stuff.
It was hard to find people not wearing them because we'd go to the downtown area.
Yeah.
It was hard to find people who weren't
in like that square.
Wearing them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I mean, honestly, good. Like that's for if we're like the worst in COVID, we should probably be doing something different.
Right.
And it was, I thought they handled it a lot better than other places as far as like they weren't being weird about it where like, they're like, okay, you have to wear your mask, but only just to the table, this, that, and the other. Like they were doing things where it was just, they were just like cool about it. They're like, okay, you wear your mask, you get to your table, you take it off.
Okay.
And no one was arguing about it. It was just very simple and stuff. So I thought that was very good how they were doing it up there.
So as soon as you sit down and you can take your
mask off. Yeah, you just off. Take it off. It's fine. Oh, yeah. When you go to the bathroom, a lot of people weren't doing it to go to the bathroom, but it's like, everyone was just like, you know, you accept the level that you get.
Yeah.
Which I think is really the best way to do it. It's just like, hey, like, let's say this is what you're supposed to do. This is a private business. I could have made you wear a mask before all this happened.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to eat here, that's fine.
Yeah.
I will say the one thing that I found weird, I've been trying to figure this out the entire time since beginning back, is do we have to wear masks in the gym?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's like the one area where I'm like, wear a mask anywhere you want me to. I don't know that I can effectively wear a mask at the gym.
Especially with all the shit we already talked about, elevation masks.
Mm-hmm.
We can't just go back on all of our, you know, previous... you know, commitments.
Well, it's weird because it's like when I think about like regular lifting, like not squatting probably, Like, I could probably do with a mask relatively easy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, better believe I'm probably pulling that shit off my nose every once in a while to breathe. Mm-hmm. But, like, imagine, like, going and, like, running on, like, a cardio machine or something. It's, like, that's where I'm, like, on the side of the Karens, like, a tiny bit. Because I'm, like, I have a health condition. I can't breathe. It's, like, okay, first of all, none of you are breathing hard enough to make that excuse for me right now.
Yeah.
But, like, if you're going to hop onto, like, a cardio machine, like,
what if you have, like, asthma or something? That'd be tough.
They're going to figure it out if they have asthma. I think that is one situation where I'm, like, oh, man, like, that's, you're already at the gym. You're touching metal. Like, it's all gross anyways. Like,
spaced out on the cardio machines because they're already, like, closed half of them, you know?
They closed half of them. And I've been seeing everyone wipe them down.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you go to a gym, like, that's, like, the place you get MRSA. Like, the gyms are already inherently, like, not to say that all gyms are dirty, and, like, but if there is a place where you're going to get, like, a disease, infection, or illness, and you go to the gym a lot, like, that's probably where you got it, if not from your own kids.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think their argument can be made in both directions on the gym is exposes you to a lot of stuff, and the gym also strengthens your immune system.
Which we will talk about shortly.
Yes.
But I do agree with you. I'm of the team. I don't want that to be misconstrued by anyone. I'm on the team. I would rather expose myself to risk and have a strong cardiovascular system and body. Mm-hmm. Because when I do get sick, I don't care. Mm-hmm. You know how often I used to get before I worked out, I used to get the flu every year.
Right.
I'd be out for 3 days. Now, I actually do still occasionally get the flu, and I obviously stay home because I'm not an asshole. Mm-hmm. And also, I just don't care. Like, I don't love my job that much. And I feel crappy for like a day and a half.
Yeah.
But actually, I'm functionally fine. I'm even able to work from home. But like back in the day, it used to be like literally I would be like in a... hit my mic. I'm doing fine. I'm not drunk. You're drunk. Okay. No, I used to be like that whole 3 days was gone. Like it's just like a segment of my life's a black hole. Now like it's just year, like...
losing 3 days.
Yeah, I'm fine.
But bro, I swear, last time I was sick for like 6 hours.
Really?
Like I took like a hard nap. And, like, I sweated it out, and I woke up, and I was better.
Totally, we're going off topic again, but I love when you have a sick nap,
yeah,
and you just wake up sweaty and disgusting, and you're, like, coming out like, the freaking swamp monster, and you take a shower, it's, like, all the sickness just goes off you, and you come out, and you're, like, huh.
Like, I'm good. I feel great.
You have to blow your nose a few times the rest of the day to clear out your sinuses, but overall, it's, like, man, I don't know why, but I suddenly don't feel like a giant turd.
Yeah. In the last, like, 18 months, that was, like, the only time I've been sick is, like, that little window.
I used to get respiratory infections when I moved to Phoenix. That's the only thing. Because with all the dust and smog coming from a smaller town.
Oh, yeah. Especially, like, this time of year, they put out those warnings all the time.
But outside of that, I don't really get sick anymore.
I swear. I think, like, most people here in the gym, I can't remember the last time they said that they've been sick. I just, like, I think that it really does a lot to keep your immune system sharp.
Yeah, and I mean, and I think it's the only reason they say that because they do get sick, but it's never bad enough to remember.
Right, yeah.
You also told me that, was it today is supposed to be the end of the world?
I saw something on, like, Joe Rogan and, like, on, you know, Instagram and Facebook. It was just like, the Mayan calendar was recalculated, and it's 2012. Actually, like, today is the end of the Mayan calendar.
I remember when the Mayan calendar 2012 thing happened. Let me tell you exactly what happened. I went to IHOP.
Yeah.
I ate too much food. I got drunk and I called my ex at the time.
Oh, Lord.
And she was not picking up what I was putting down. Yeah. That was my entire end of the world.
Yeah.
And now they're telling me that the 2012 end of the world is back around.
Yeah.
I already blew it, guys. It's too late. I can't redo this.
Did you hear like one of the, you know, like woo-woo conspiracy theories about it?
No.
It was like, the Mayan calendar end of the world is actually like everyone died and now we're just like in hell.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, I've heard that. It's like, has anything really felt real since 2012? And I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't buy into it, but it's interesting to like,
that's think hilarious. About that. I love those people. I love the conspiracy. I just love the people who like at the end of the world people.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like you should only get one shot. Like after you that, get, if you, if you fucked up, your cult's done, you shut down, you close up shop. But if you get one guess, and then if you fail, then your cult's done. Let's find another cult because you can't keep reformatting your end of the world.
Does that count for like people who are like, you know, Bill Clinton's the Antichrist, and then like they're wrong, and then they're like, oh no, Donald Trump's the Antichrist, and then they're like, oh no. And then
I just like that your Antichrist scenario crosses party lines.
Oh, it did.
I'm proud of you for that.
I remember when I was like, you know, 12.
The true Antichrist. Is bipartisan.
Yeah, independent.
All politicians are the Antichrist.
Yes.
Well, let's move in to our weekly wins and losses. Look at All right. So our weekly wins loss. Were you able to think of any this week?
Yes.
What's your win?
So my win was I did finally a standing ab rollout, which I've been working on for a while now.
Like, we're talking about the roller, you stand at your toes.
Yes.
And then you have the wheel down and you go all the way extended. You go all the way back up.
I did. I went all the way out and all the way up.
That from is
the
standing actually position. A pretty sick achievement.
I saw it on like Facebook years ago. Like some powerlifter was doing it. He's like this big chubby powerlifter. And he's like, you want to see real core strength? And he like goes out. That. And I was like, dang.
I love that.
And it's like, wow, of course, he's a powerlifter. He has like, you know, 600 to 800 pounds on his back for a squat. He's got to have some strong core muscles, you know?
Well, that's what I love, the fat but strong movement. It's like, like, you know, when someone's fat and strong, that you can do shit like that. It's like, if you're just like the fat guy you know from high school who can like bench a little bit more than everybody else, it's like, no,
that's a real fat, fat and strong.
That's really awesome. I love that.
Yeah. So that was my win. Do I go both?
I guess we go wins. We usually go win, win, loss, loss. I can't remember.
Shit, let's do it. Let's do it this time.
Let's go do win-win.
Yeah.
I'm tired, guys. I've been in the sun. I went and took a piss. I'm still dehydrated. My win was getting to actually take a small vacation, which I never do, going up to Flagstaff, Sedona.
You deserve it, bro.
I only thought about things I need to get done for work like 5 times.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to end up doing a bunch of stuff when I'm done with this.
Okay.
But It was really good. I needed to relax. I needed to realize. I was like, man, I need to start hiking again. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've been stuck inside for so long. And we were talking about going on a vacation for a while. And we were talking about going to California, which is what I think is a very like indoor, very spendy type of vacation.
Right.
Where this one was like, we're going to go outdoors and like hike and like do nature. And I was like, that's what I needed. I didn't need the, I'm going to go drink and club and shit. I need to like go outside. So that was a big win for me.
Like an outdoor cleanse kind of
thing. Yeah, exactly. An outdoor cleanse. Just much like the juice cleanse, but with solider poops.
And Dimitri does it, our later segment at the end of the episode.
I should my poops. This will be the one time that I get to report that I wasn't pissing out my ass.
Normal poops. You guys hear that?
Normal poops. What's your L?
Okay, let's see. Let's get to my L. I would say my L would be like I was supposed to drop this key off in Avondale. Like for work on Saturday, and
it's not Saturday.
I know. You're right. And so like I drove and I was driving like all the way back and I was like, you know, where the highway goes under the bridge and you're like turned around downtown.
Yeah.
I forgot and I had to drive all the way back, leave the key there and like fucking after I said goodbye to everyone, already checked out and completely wasted like, you know, a good hour.
Wait, so you didn't have the key when you went?
No, I didn't leave it there.
So you have to turn around and go back again.
Yeah, and like, you guys, this drive is pretty intense.
It's about 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's like a 30-minute drive.
And it's a rough 30 minutes because it's on like the, what's the highway you take?
I-10.
I-10. Yeah, no one cares about their lives on I-10.
Yeah,
it's like, I thought the 101 was bad. And for people who aren't aware of the thing, so 101 is like a site, runs along Tempe and all the business there. So those people all have to get to work. So they're not trying to die. The 10, I don't know what the hell's going on the 10 out to the West Valley, but those people are wild.
They are. It's kind of like, you know, driving into another country sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. I feel that. It's like no blinker. I'm going 4 lanes over. Good luck, everybody.
Yeah. So it wasn't a huge L. I feel like things are a little stagnant right now, so it's it's not very spicy, but it's like one of those things that when it inconveniences you, it just like, it feels like it ruins your day almost, you know?
I feel like that's a good L to have, but that doesn't make it not an L.
Right.
It's like, it's like when people are like comparing their bad days. It's like, oh man, I just had a really bad day. Like my boss kind of chewed me out. It's like, well, I lost my job. It's like oh, okay. Well, I'm great. I'm upset for your situation. Yeah. Shit. But like, well, I mean, my day sucked.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'll round it out. So here's an addition. So because of that, I ended up having a bad meal and eating 2 McDonald's burgers. So that's a double L.
All you've done is describe a regular day for me. It's like, I will let any inconvenience allow me to do that.
It's like, it's too late to make dinner. I'm just going to fucking...
Like, I was thinking about that burgers on my way back. Like, I have to go do a bunch of work and stuff. Yeah. It's like, man, I guess I got to go pick something up.
I was going to have tacos, but the taco place was closed, so I had to resort to McDonald's.
You know what? I forgive you.
Yeah.
Don't forgive yourself.
No, I don't.
But I forgive you. My L is yet another abstract one. Because I was kind of an L for, again, outdoorsy things. I didn't realize this, and I don't, everyone says this, because everyone's like, oh, I hate, like, the Instagramification of everything. Like, mm-hmm. everything needs to be recorded for Snapchat stories or Instagram stories or yada, yada, yada. And I saw just, like, not only that from, like, my own group, but, like, everywhere we went, it just felt like everyone, like, had their phone out to, like, take pictures or do this, that, and the other. And I've said it before, I've said it again. I suck at social media. It's, like, not even because I don't want to be good at it. Like, I'm just genuinely bad at it. So
you're not 13. Sorry, bro.
You can't even say that anymore, though. There's, like, so many, like, 20s and 30-year-olds. It's, like, their freaking Instagram accounts are banging. And it's, for me, it's, like, I guess in a... the least cringy, high and mighty way possible, while still sounding super high and mighty and cringy. I was like, I just like kind of felt like, I was like, why isn't everybody taking in the moment? Like, I got like my one picture I felt good about it. Yeah. Whereas I felt like everyone was like constantly trying to get the next good picture. Like, this is going to be the one. This is going to be the one. This is going to be the one. And I'll caveat that with saying, like, if this is for like business reasons or like you're trying to build a portfolio, or like, you know, say like you at the gym, like you're trying to get people, like you have a lot of content so they can see you're like a good trainer. Mm-hmm. Like, that's different. But it's like, if you're just posting it for like the sake of your like 500 to 700 followers to like hopefully get some updates and maybe like get some self-worth, it's like, ah, like that's an L.
Right. I agree. Like, I'm with you on that one. Sometimes I'm just like, hey, just take a second to enjoy the, you know, scenery around you. Like, take it in with your eyes first. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that people, you know, nowadays can waste that, and they think that the picture, I don't know, it depends on like your point of view, but I don't think the picture is as valuable as the moment to me personally.
Well, and then I got asked an interesting question by Taylor, and she was like, and she asked me, she's like, do you want a picture of yourself? And I was like, not really.
Yeah.
And she's like, you don't want a memory? And I was just like, and my response was like totally asshole-y. I was like, no. And I was like, which is not the response I actually meant, but I was like, I don't equate picture of myself standing at river as memory.
Yeah.
Like, I expect like just like the experience in general. But I think that shows like, okay, we need to like balance both sides. Cause a lot of people are just trying to create memories. Mm-hmm. So that's why I say like, yeah, like take some pictures, but also like find the in between.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Like it's balance. A great example. And this is a little bit of a side, is like when people go on Snapchat and they have like an entire concert on their Snapchat video that they're never going to watch again. They don't record that so they can look at later. They don't record it for anyone's benefit. It's so that everyone knows that they went to that concert.
Oh yeah, it's a social validation.
Exactly. And that's where I'm saying, it's like, it gets to a point where it's like, are you trying to make memories, or are you trying to let other people know you do rad shit?
Right.
Which I think there is a medium. You should be allowed to let people know you do rad shit.
Instagram is great for that, because it really allows you to, you know, show what you're doing in the best way. And it's like, it's addicting. It's a dopamine rush for sure.
Yeah.
Like, I know, shit, the picture I posted of me doing the, like, the box jump, a bunch of people commented on it and they're like, oh, sick jump, bro, or whatever. And like, I got a definite rush from that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I want to the people who feel like their lives are worse than everyone else's.
Yeah.
There was an excellent one. There's his family, two just beautiful little children, the cutest kids I've seen in a long time. And I do not like kids. So that makes it actually a real compliment.
Yeah.
And they like got these cool pictures, and I saw them, and I saw like a snake. There was like one of those like red, black, and red ones. Mm-hmm. And like, oh yeah, I got this picture. And then you see them 20 minutes later in the parking lot, and both kids are just screaming and like, ah, I'm like going crazy. And like the parents just like want to blow their head. Like, oh my God. And like, but I can guarantee that Instagram picture, other parents look at that and it's like, why do my kids suck?
What a perfect family.
Yeah. Like, why are like, I just want, oh, goals. No, what I saw was not goals.
Yeah.
That seems like, man, I'm not ready for kids yet. But based off that picture, it's like, okay, like it's a balance.
That's true.
We're going to move on from our wins and losses. And you had a really good recommendation before we get to the... We're going to say this is like two medium-sized segments where we usually do one big one.
Two important topics.
Yes.
Relevant, important topics.
We were talking about the mask thing, and I actually ordered some masks anyways just so that like I can have them and, you know, be super woke-ed and not be a part of the problem, just because, you know, who wants to be... And I might be late to the party, but I think that we as growing people should be allowed to show up to the party whenever we get there. It's all about being better.
Right. And who wants to be nerds and be the first ones at the party, right?
Right. It's all about being late. No, but I think that we should, if you see someone who wasn't wearing a mask before and they are wearing it, don't be mean to them. They grew. But what we really want to
talk
about.
I know my rights.
This is America. We've been on too much Instagram. We want to talk about building your immune system, because I don't care what graph tells you about how this mask is going to solve your problems. If you aren't also doing the right health things, to build your immune system and empower yourself so that if you do get sick, you're able to bounce back quickly. That thin piece of cotton is not going to be the thing that saves you.
Right.
So Wes is going to be talking a little bit about some supplements that can build your immune system, and then what he calls the big four, which are the things that are going to supplement your mask and your social distancing so that even if the worst is to happen, you will be the best set up to handle it.
Best line of defense.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think there's a few supplements out there that are pretty beneficial and that most people, it applies to most people. And I think some of those would be like vitamin D, one of the biggest ones, especially right now.
Especially being inside all the time.
Right. Exactly. We're stuck inside we have been stuck inside, and a lot of us have been experiencing more of a sedentary time than, you know, in our previous habits. So vitamin D deficiency has only gone up and is actually a huge part of your hormonal endocrine system and your immune system. So,
and as we talked about, I've had that problem and it affected me severely. So you will feel, if you're feeling more depressed and more tired, first thing you should do is probably get vitamin D. Get a vitamin D supplement. And then if it's still there, see a professional. But it is a good start.
I think unless you work outside, you should take vitamin D.
Honestly. Especially like in Arizona, Phoenix. Like I got told that by a doctor. He's like, the joke is if you live in Phoenix, like, oh, it's the sunshine. Yeah. It's all the time. No one's outside because it's so hot.
Right. Especially right now. It's like I'm outside like 7-8 months out of the year, not like right now.
Yep.
Yeah. So I've noticed a difference since we both talked about, you know, supplementing vitamin D, you know, just with my like personal enjoyment of my work, you know? Like I'm not as hating my life as much.
Well, it makes tasks better. It's like anyone who's dealt with any level of depression, vitamin D deficiency is very similar.
Yeah.
It's like everything just sucks. Everything's slower. It's hard to get any kind of drive to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to pull your head out of it when you're in there too. You know, you don't really realize it till you're on the other side. But yeah, that's a big one right there. I think, of course, you know, vitamin C and other water soluble vitamins like vitamin B are helpful as well.
Would like a regular multivitamin probably help with most of that?
It will cover the basics, the minimums on that, but it's not going to like give you a huge boost. By the way, like emergency and like, you know, those stuff, those aren't that great. It's like you're only getting max like 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C, which is like a half of a dose you'd want.
Really?
Yeah. Like you shouldn't take like 2,000 milligrams all the time of vitamin C. That could give you issues with like ulcers and acidic like stomachs and stuff like that. But if you're noticing that you're struggling with your immune system or you just got, you know, back from a plane ride or something like that, why not double up your vitamin C for a few days?
Okay.
Yeah. And then as far as that, I've also heard good things on like different immune system support. Like I know Sambucil is a popular one that when I worked at the vitamin shop, and as well as like, you know, Echinacea. Those ones I've heard people talk about, but have I noticed like huge differences or improvements with that? No, I just didn't get sick, so I don't really know.
I think a big thing to say with supplements is it's one of those things, if it's like, we always talk about the last couple percent. Like, if you take creatine, it'll make you 2% better at lifting, but in the grand scheme of things, that 2% is nothing. Mm-hmm. It's the vast majority of the other things you do.
Exactly.
However, if you're deficient
on the cake,
if you're deficient on those micros, you will be worse off. So take that vitamin D. Take your one a day men's or women's, you know, you can get the chewy gummy ones. It doesn't freaking matter. It's, and if you take it every day, your body at the end of the day will be slightly better off.
Mm-hmm. Another one I think is important is zinc. I forgot that
one. Oh yeah. Zinc.
Zinc is a popular one for people when they're sick. And I mean, all these things only really apply if you're deficient in it. If you already are topped off with your diet, which I mean, it's hard to know if you are or not.
I doubt you are.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless you're getting tested. But, you know, those are all things that if these are gaps, it's going to be like a hole in your defense, you know, for your immune system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this big four, which I loved, I actually never even considered the term. But it was it's funny because I was making the joke about how like I barely get, it's like I get one.
One of the four.
I get one of the four a day.
Yeah. So the big four, that's sleep, stress, nutrition, and hydration. And I guess like recovery can be talked about, associated with there as well.
It's like vowels, A-E-I-O, sometimes Y.
Sometimes Y, yeah. Sometimes recovery, it depends like on what your lifestyle is like. But those are the biggest things that influence like your immune system for like a normal person. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm sure, you know, the last time that you can think back when you're sick, at least two of those were suffering, right?
Yeah, definitely. Usually sleep.
Yeah, sleep is a big one. I feel like everyone has like a particular vulnerability in there. And for me, it's sleep for sure. Sleep or hydration get me the most.
Yes, hydration is hard, especially in Arizona. I feel like it's usually like, well, actually, let's start from the beginning.
Yeah.
I'm gonna run you through this gambit.
Okay, let's do it.
Sleep, which I find is the one that people are most willing to exchange.
Right.
Because everyone says, I'm fine with 5 hours.
I'm an adult. I could do this. I went to college.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I went to college. It's like, yeah, guess what? You're also between 18 and 21, and your body was dying, but it was just able to recover fast. I personally usually thrive in the 8 to 10 hour zone of sleep.
Yeah.
And I usually get 6 to 7. And we talked about you. You have a lot of issues with waking up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I wake up many times a night.
Like, what are your recommendations as far as sleep? Is it something you need to tool around with individual, or is it pretty much baseline 8 hours for everyone is probably what they should be doing?
Honestly, I mean, yeah, 8 hours is great. I don't think I've gotten 8 hours consecutive in the last 5 years, but I think that... Yeah. Like, 6 is the minimum for performance. Like, there's studies that show that under 6 hours, your performance significantly suffers in the gym and it with yeah. concentration mentally, you know, stuff like that. So, and another thing that I thought was interesting is women tend to need between 30 to an hour and a half minute or an hour and a half of more sleep than men do.
Okay.
And that may be because of their ability to multitask at a higher efficiency statistically than men.
Don't women also statistically recover faster too, though?
Oh yeah, like physically from, you know, physical exertions. I noticed that like every week.
So maybe it's that kind of comes into play too. It's
possibly
and it's all on spectrums and bell curves and yada yada.
Of course,
yada.
You know, outliers.
Like and, for me, it also changes as you get older. Like when I was younger, dude. First of all, even to this day, I'm a night owl. Mm-hmm. And as I was in high school through college, I was a 5 to 6 hour guy with usually an hour nap somewhere in there. At this point in my life, I've lost the ability. Like right. I am the sleepiest dude you'll ever find. Mm-hmm. And if I sit in a comfortable spot for too long, like I will pass out for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's just how I am now. I used to say like, it's I could never, right. and the thing is it's usually, and we'll get to it. Hydration is a big part of my issue.
Yeah.
And that's what makes me tired too. But so we're going to go and say across the board, probably 8 hours. If you can find it, get it.
You got to get at least 6 though.
But
you
know, at least 6. Like minimum 6.
Yeah. And it's not like, oh, you got 6. Congratulations. It's like, you didn't fail, but you know, you've got some work to do.
We're going to say minimum 6 to all of you 5 hour warriors. We appreciate you, but your long-term health is at risk. Yeah. And you are more likely to get sick. Like you will get more sick because your body's not recovering. At the time you're asleep, that's when everything shuts down. Like, you know, like they, you know, we got to rope off this section of a building so that we can fix some damage. Like, that's when it happens. It can't really happen as well when you're awake.
Mm-hmm.
The next one, which is one that I feel like most people ignore, is stress.
Yes. A lot of people don't count that in, like, as a factor, you know, but it is a factor. And especially, like, if you are stressing yourself out by, like, exercising too, you know, it's like, that can be good stress, but if you're, you know, hitting failure sets every workout and maxing like, you know, your squats or presses every week and stuff like that, that's going to eventually run down your central nervous system and turn that good stress into bad stress.
Yeah. I'd also be willing to venture the question of, so stress is probably the one that I'm sure there's a lot of like yogis and psychiatrists and stuff who are going to say like, we have a choice, but like for the vast majority of us who refuse to take care of our mental health, this is the one that's like, our job is stressing us out. Our kids are stressing us out. Our family is stressing us out. This is the one that I really don't have a lot of control over. So you should really be trying to nail it on all the rest of them.
Yeah. Like this is the unpredictable one. You know, it's the one that it's like, it's going to be chaotic and you're not going to have a full say on it. So it's like, you just have to manage it pretty much. That's the best you can do.
Yeah. And it's a whole other subset. Cause like some of us have like, you know, shit that we have to deal with. Like,
right.
You know, some of us like have like PTSD. Some of us have mental health disorders. Some of us have
life problems, you know,
life problems and families. Like things are just bad. Like I didn't choose to live in this family. I didn't choose to have these bad things happen to me. So you manage it the best you can. And maybe we'll talk more about stress on its own at a different time, which I think we have in the past a little bit, but I think
we'll keep expand touching on it
more.
Yeah.
But this is the one that's like, hey, look, this is the one that's chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
So you can control sleep, nutrition, hydration, but like sleep is, or stress is the one that's like, oof, like that's the variable.
Mm-hmm. I feel that. Yeah. And it's crazy. It's like, you don't feel the stress rising until it's like too late. It's like once you're, you know, in the trenches, then you're like, mm-hmm. oh shit.
It's yeah, always it's, too late. Yeah. You don't realize you're stressed. It's like you're in that fight or flight mode. It's like you've had to turn in the same spreadsheet 4 times and like yeah. keep kicking it back. And you're like, I don't know what you people want. And it's just like that. And suddenly you're like, you've realized that this has been on your back your whole life. Am I projecting right now? Am I projecting?
Hey, that's what this is for. You know,
that's, get off your chest. That's real life. That's real life.
Yeah.
No, it's a, but that is real. Mm-hmm.
What do you think is a good managing like technique you can do to help deal with stress on like a weekly basis?
If I would say with stress in a real sense, besides like going and actually like seeing a professional or mm-hmm. like dealing with your shit, actually that's what my answer is. Just deal with your shit. It's like, because okay, if you're me, you like hide from your problems, you act like you don't, but you're like I'm like really good at covering up my problems and being like really good in other areas. Mm-hmm. But that usually means that area is still festering. It's like, okay,
yeah.
There's something going on at work.
You just have to like confront something,
basically. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's something going on at work that's really bothering me, and I can't figure it out, and I can't find a solution, and it stresses me out because I feel like I'm not doing a good job, and I'm doing good other places, but at the back of my mind, that area that I'm doing poorly mm-hmm. is just always going to be there.
I feel that.
So, and it stresses me out to approach the problem. Mm-hmm. However, if you just hit it directly, you're saving future you a lot of issues. And I think yeah. that a lot of people don't think of future them very, very well. It's like, fuck future me. Like, he'll deal with it. Whereas it's like, how about you deal with the bad right now and think about how much happier you're going to be later.
I like that.
That's my way of looking. That's my tidbit of stress handling right now.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And I mean, I think that's part of the hard part is just figuring out what works for you.
Oh, yeah. Know? It's different for everyone.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Some people are like, what do you mean you don't handle your problems right now? I'm stressed out because I never not have problems. It's like, well, shit, dude, like maybe not, like obviously don't just go quit your fucking job, but like, have you thought about like a career change? Like maybe that's your solution.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I think it's just figuring out your own journey with that. And it's like everyone has different kind of stress. So it's going to be a different solution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moving on. Nutrition. Mm-hmm. And I want you to respond to this one, not mm-hmm. for our people who actually have good nutrition, mm-hmm. but almost from like a, I feel like shit all the time and I just don't know what to do with it. How can nutrition help me kind of way?
Yeah. So I was talking to my dad about this actually today because he works for the VA. He was a surgeon for many years mm-hmm. and he actually went to New York to help out with the COVID stuff, you know, during like the curve and everything. So like he was there when it was like at its peak in New York.
Damn.
Yeah. So he was seeing like all the, you know, he was in the trenches and all that. So like he was telling me that one of the biggest factors is inflammation, you know,
yeah.
getting sick. And the biggest cause of inflammation is a poor diet. And like, for example,
strawberries, tomatoes, Tom Brady.
Yeah. Tom Brady. Yeah. Nightshades. No, it's the combination of salt, carbs and fat, you know, that's the devil's trio right there.
Yeah.
But basically what he's saying is like the inflammation caused by poor digestion of those processed foods causes inflammation in all the endothelial cells in your body, which is like the lining of all your tissue, of your organs, of your arteries, of your lungs, like your esophagus, all this stuff. And it just gets inflamed and like filled with all this waste and like products that don't allow your immune system to function correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying that like the obese population and the diabetic population is one of the most at-risk groups right now, not only for like this virus, but just like sickness in general because mm-hmm. of that. It doesn't allow your immune system to function properly.
So there's a couple ways to tackle that.
Yeah.
I want to break them in like two parts because you mentioned the salts, the carbs, the fats.
Yes.
And then you also mentioned processed food.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to hit those each separately.
Right.
Processed foods is obvious in its own way. Like even people who eat like shit, mm-hmm. you will never hear a good argument from them, if any,
mm-hmm.
in support of processed food. Just like, well, it tastes good or it's cheap.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about processed food, are we talking about like anything that runs through a factory and has been packaged by humans or is there some flexibility there?
I mean, of course there's some flexibility. Like I eat cream of rice every morning, for my breakfast, which is processed rice. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been ground down. It's been, you know, bleached and simplified, but it, I still don't get inflamed from it. I have a good, you know, digestive response to it. Mm-hmm. And I realized that after, you know, weeks of eating it, you know, and seeing the alternatives, like when you eat oatmeal, I'm not hungry for hours after. It sits in my stomach. I have gas, bloating, and I've noticed that even though oatmeal is a whole food, it still messes me up.
Funny that you say that. Yeah. I've learned that rice might be the thing that bloats me.
Brown rice or white rice?
Just pick rice.
Just rice in general.
Yeah, mostly white, I believe. Okay. But we were talking about the carnivore diet.
Yep.
Wasn't bloated once.
Yeah.
As we know, I've stepped back and I'm a failure. Uh-huh. And I recently went to a sushi restaurant and I walked out of there feeling like I was going to vomit because I was so bloated. And I'm like, what is the one thing there that was not incorporated in my carnivore? It's like, I love seaweed. I can crush seaweed all day. If that makes you bloated, you're weird. You're probably allergic. But it was the rice. That was the only factor in there that made any sense. So I was like, maybe I need to consider removing rice from my diet because I don't process it well.
That's wild. That could, and that's a benefit of, you know, your experiment with the carnivore diet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Taking that's a step cool, back. Man.
That's really cool. Yeah. Okay, so
processed food is, there's lines, but there's what affects you.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, it takes something like what you did with the carnivore diet where you reset your digestive system to figure out what's messing you up. Because it's like, until you change your food options and see what the other thing feels like, the other mode feels like, you don't know. You just like, inflamed and bloated is your norm, and that's what you feel like it should be.
Yeah. And we've talked about how I get bloated all the time. So it's like, for me, for a long time, it was just like, I guess I just get bloated. I take Alka-Seltzer like every day. It's like, me and 50-year-old men love Alka-Seltzer. Mm-hmm. But we can test there. We can find whole foods. And there's not just because it's a whole food doesn't mean it works for you.
Right.
So that's another way to look at it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Eating is a full-time job. And I think it's something that we do idly, but you need to pay attention. Mm-hmm. So we talked about the process. And I think we'll have another conversation about this in the near future. And I've told you about the omnivore's dilemma and this, how corn is a shit crop, but that's besides the point. But the concept of the fat, salts and carbs.
Yes.
I think a lot of people will hear someone say that and think, oh, thanks, you just removed
everything.
60% or actually 60% of all opportunity. Now I get to eat vegetables and unsalted meat.
Yeah.
Like, thanks.
Vegetables and chicken breast. And
that's exactly. Yeah. So when we talk about carbs, we're talking about like those those really processed carbs. Like, it's funny when you talk about it because it's like, you eat a sweet potato.
A Dorito is like a great, or a donut is a great example.
Yeah, you can eat a sweet potato and it's a carb, but it's like really clean and fibrous. But then you like the amount of carbs you can fit into like a circle. Yeah. It is a donut.
Yeah.
And first of all, we all know you're not eating just one.
Of course not.
Like it's astounding. So that's what we're talking about. It's like the fried stuff, this heavily salted, the heavily enriched with other flours and stuff.
Yes, it's like processed to the point where, you know, it has all three of those in super concentrated amounts. It's like more than you would find in normal food that would naturally occur, or even like a GMO food. You know, it's just like,
you know. Ooh, you said a bad word, GMO. That's something I want to debate one of these days, because GMO, I get upset because I'm the kind of person who's like, someone's like, I hate GMOs. I'm like, okay, don't eat any vegetable.
All right. Well, then the whole world will starve.
Yeah, exactly. But no, but there are GMOs. There are situations where the GMOs fucked us.
Yeah.
Because, all right, let me just point out.
Oh, man. Tangent. You're going on tangent.
Step.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about how the U.S. food industry is trying to kill you, but also keep you alive long enough to make the most profit.
Yes.
It is nuts. It is nuts.
It's wild. And I think one thing I've noticed is with this is like, that's the perfect ratio of making the most like addictively overconsumed food is having high concentrations of carbs, fat, and salt. And it's like, think of like the best tasting foods like pizza.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to have some of all three of those in there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Or like just like I've mentioned this before, like the middle aisles.
Right.
Go through the middle aisles. Go get like, there's these things, the family meals you can get from the frozen section are just awful for you. Like, it's like, it seems like it's just like, oh, it's pasta, it's vegetables, it's got chicken in it, it's healthy. No, it's actually like constructed in a way that's like, they just jam so much extra stuff in there. Unless if you went and got the individual ingredients, you'd actually have a healthier product.
Oh, yeah.
But since this is frozen and processed, they are able to throw so much more stuff in there and filler, so that they save money and you get a tasty product, but it actually is from a nutrition standpoint, not as good for you.
Yeah.
And I've made this statement before where I talk about how if you're a smoker
mm-hmm.
and you also eat like shit, you could pick which one you want to quit first.
Yeah.
Because they're both equally bad for you. It's just smoking has become socially unacceptable,
right.
And eating shittily is still like, all right.
Right. It's not like you're going to die tomorrow, but guess what? You're going to be stuck in a hospital bed while they have to cut off your feet because of lack of circulation. You're going to be pooping out of a bag and your family's going to have to pay for it.
Exactly. It's like,
that's what's going to happen.
We talk about the Italians and the French. It's like, they're all like in great freaking shape. None of them work out and they're all smoking cigarettes constantly.
Right.
But their relationship with food is so much better than the average American. Yeah, exactly. It's like, those guys don't do anything. like find a gym in Italy, find a gym in France. I was there.
Right.
And we would like try and like go on like a jog and people were looking at us like we were crazy. It was just like, they're just like, what are those guys doing?
Yeah.
It was, and it's dumb. It's smart because they obviously
they're doing something right.
They're doing something right. I love it.
Yeah. So it's underrated. The inflammation you get from eating a poor diet and missing out on, you know, essential micronutrients and macronutrients basically sets yourself up for a weakened, more vulnerable state.
I'm glad you brought that round circle. I was like, we're going to bring this around somehow. Yeah. Well, the last one.
Yes, hydration. Of course, I think that's a big underrated one because obviously, like, everyone's heard, hey, no one drinks enough water. Most people are mostly mm-hmm. dehydrated the majority of the day and stuff like that. And it's true. And I mean, honestly, I have a story about this.
All right.
On how hydration, along with a couple of the other factors, can lead to getting sick. And when I was competing in the Best Warrior competition in 2017, we went to San Antonio, Texas. It was 3 days of competition. It's kind of like how the CrossFit Games does it. They have like compete all day, rest, compete all day, rest, you know, so that's what we did. And this is like all physical stuff. Like we were on our feet with like a ruck on or like, you know, doing obstacle courses all day, basically. Yeah. So I was doing good. I was hydrating as much as I could. I was eating clean. I was doing the events and I finished all 3 days. At the end, you know, of the competition, they're like, hey, let's go out tonight. Let's celebrate. And we're in San Antonio, Texas. We went to like the river walk and like went out to like the bars all night. And so I was, you know, overworked from 3 days of competition at Best Warrior. I was underslept because we were, you know, only getting like 6 hours of sleep and, you know, doing night land nav and other, you know, games, fuck games that the military likes to play.
Yep.
I was underhydrated because I was drinking all night.
So you're probably pissing apple cider.
Yeah, pissing root beer.
Oh God, that's worse.
So yeah, basically I was all these except including the stress because I was, you know, physically exerting
myself.
So I hit all four of those parts and I went from being all right, you know, not sick to the next morning when or 2 days later when I got back to Arizona, I had like a full blown urinary tract kidney infection.
Really?
Yeah. Just from like the combination of three.
Damn.
So it's like I had to go in and get like antibiotics and get like flush and all that stuff.
Getting any kind of urinary tract infection as a male.
As a guy, yeah.
Is very impressive.
Yeah, it's like, I've never even heard of guys getting those things.
It happens, but only in extreme situations. Because girls, like most girls will tell you, it's like, yeah, they have, every girl's a story.
Yeah.
But like the one time.
You got UTI, yeah.
But like, for a guy, it's just like, that's impressive.
He was like beyond the bladder, up from the bladder to the kidney.
Wow.
So that's how bad it was.
That was rough.
Bro, my kidneys felt like they were going to pop like water balloons. It was horrible.
I don't like that at all. I don't like that feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay. So what is an appropriate amount of water? Because like, I think a lot of people say like you'd be drinking a gallon a day.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have everyone walking around with like a gallon that they drink like a third of. But
yeah,
like what is an appropriate amount of water?
I think a gallon a day for the casual athlete is a good marker. You know, especially in Arizona where it's like fucking hot. You're going to sweat in the gym.
Yeah.
I don't care. You know, it's 110 degrees outside. The AC's on. You're still going to get a little hot.
Now, are you team chugger or team sipper?
I've used to be team chugger, but not anymore.
Now that I'm older. To differentiate that, you're like me. I'm still an inadvertent member of team chuggers where you know you need to be drinking a gallon a day, but you're doing a very piss poor job keeping up with it. You're like, oh shit, I need to have a gallon done within the next 6 hours. So you're crushing another third of that gallon like in one setting. Yeah. And then you go and piss it all out about 2 minutes later. Yeah. You should really be spreading it through
the day. You should. I used to be team chugger, but yeah, I don't know. It hurts my stomach now.
You know what's been growing on me as a concept, and I used to make fun of these, is there are these goofy bottles you could buy. Like it's like almost a gallon. Usually it's a gallon or a liter, but you can get it for a gallon. And it has like lines on it with the times on them. And the reason they're stupid is they always have like a phrase like almost there. Keep going. Yeah. You're doing great.
You're a champion.
You're a champion. Killing it. You're done. Yeah. It's like, oh, shut up. Like, I hate this bottle.
Yeah.
But then I thought about it and I was like, shit, that's actually really smart. Mm-hmm. You cover it with lines. Because the thing is, even if you chug 1/12 of it every hour, still not ideal. You should be sipping. But that's better than chugging a third of a gallon in the middle of the day when you realize you're behind.
Yeah.
That's actually like a pretty good strategy.
Seems to be working better than my strategy.
Yeah, it's like I'm sitting here, my bottle might be sarcastically telling me I'm a winner, but also like I actually think about getting one of those now. I need to swing back on Amazon today.
Right.
Well, yeah. I think hydration is the big one we all face here in Arizona, especially. Like we're great at being dehydrated. Like when I was in Kentucky, like we went for training, we went black on water. We ran out of water for
jargon
for 24 hours, and everyone but me.
Yeah,
I'm like walking around like, I am the king of Dewata because I'm so used to being dehydrated.
Yeah,
that everyone else, like people are passing out and they're hallucinating, and I'm like walking around like totally fine because I'm from Arizona and like thirsty is like the normal
state. You only have 1 liter of water?
I have like a Camelback and like two canteens they made me fill. I was like, I don't need that water. That's just extra weight. And like, you have to fill it.
Yeah.
Fine.
Like, okay.
And I was like, but I was just like walking around with my canteens and people. It's like, I give you this gift of life.
Yes. Like, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah. So we all are so used to being dehydrated. It's like, no, that's not right. Don't do that. Right. If your pee is darker than light yellow, go drink some water. Mm-hmm.
I think the easiest way to get your hydration, well, it's two things. One is it takes multiple days to really get your hydration on point.
That's people. They're not going to like you for it.
Yeah, it does. I say it takes like 2 or 3 days of like consistency before you're like, you get the momentum, the snowball going on your hydration.
Yep. I agree with that a lot. Everyone tries to hydrate the day before. It's like, this is an all week thing.
Yeah, it definitely takes a couple days. And like the way that you'll notice that is like, it'll take like 2 or 3 days of being on your shit as far as your water. And then after that, you're like, okay, now I'm peeing clear like all day. Like, okay, I'm going.
I'd even argue you shouldn't pee completely clear. Like, and this is more light, for our lighter people, like our lower weight individuals, is there's this concept called, I lost my thought. It's a, when you have too much water, not enough salt.
I forgot what it's called, but it's like hypernatremia.
Hyponatremia. Yeah. I'm leaving all that in. We're not going to sound smart. You guys are going to realize that sometimes it doesn't work.
Hypo or hypernatremia.
It's hyponatremia or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Something like that. It'll come up.
Yeah, lighter framed people especially, if you drink too much water, it will have almost the exact same effect of being dehydrated. Right. Like you have no salt in your body, will just like start to like
cramp. You'll feel like shit. It's not good.
So make sure you're eating. And if you're peeing clear, you're actually probably just good. Like you don't need to overdo it necessarily, but for our higher level athletes,
light yellow, lemonade.
Lemonade.
Let's go. Minute Maid. All day.
Minute Maid is about where you
want. Lemonade all day. Remember that.
Well, let's keep moving. We've actually stuck on this longer than I expected. But we're going to continue with our segments. This will be a little bit longer than I expect, which is actually fine.
Yes.
But again, big four: sleep, stress, nutrition, hydration. If you take care of at least three of those four at any given moment, you're going to be much better off. Mm-hmm. Look into those supplements we talked about. If you feel like you're deficient in some area, especially vitamin D or a multivitamin for like one a day men's or women's. Mm-hmm. And those things together, included with your mask, your social distancing,
it's a good defense right there.
You are better off then unfortunately the vast majority.
That's being proactive about it too, not just waiting for yourself to get sick.
Exactly.
So just get on it now.
Build those walls up. Protect you and your family.
Hell yeah.
Well, we have the next thing I want to talk about, and this was something that came up because our last interview I thought went excellently. Mm-hmm. I had a great time with it. Thank you again to Josh Grubbs.
Yes.
We talked about why it went so well, and I was talking to you about it. I think it's really just because like we had two trainers talking about trainer things. And like at the end of the day, you guys are all sort of on the same page.
Yeah.
And I was talking about how I was like, yeah, I'm just gonna go become a trainer now. I'm just gonna go be a trainer.
Five Star Fitness is hiring, by the way, in case there's any trainers out there that want to hit us up.
Good plug.
Yes.
Wes is like, I'm working too much.
Yes. I need a day off.
I thought to myself, I was like, I think a lot of people in the fitness area of life or something, every once in a while someone's like, oh, you become a trainer. Like, as if it's just, like, something you just do.
I did it. That's what I did. I'm going to be a trainer now.
And then you realize it was much more complicated.
Yeah.
Well, we want to talk a little bit about, like, how to be a trainer. Because I'm sure at least one of you is interested in how Wes got to where he is. And I kind of wanted you to talk about from, we'll say, your thought where you said, I'm going to become a trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And then what were the next steps, the major milestones, and the major, like, confusions that maybe people have about what the situation is?
Yeah. I think like a big thing is, you know, people think that it's all about the certification, which I think the certification only does is like really allows you to not injure people.
It's almost like it allows you to be insured.
Yes. It allows you to be insured. It allows you to like, it basically teaches you now how to not hurt people. And that's about it, man. Like, I think the majority of what you learn is with your own fitness journey, with like, in the trenches with the clients, you know, seeing like the things that work for them, the things that don't work. And I think another big part of it is like continuing to further your knowledge outside of just mm-hmm. that one NASM certification or whatever you have.
Well, let's start from the beginning, because yes. I like that you started talking about the certifications.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, I think a lot of people get certifications and they think they're hot shit. Right. But then there's also other people who probably think, I don't need this certification.
Right.
So what does the certification teach you? What are like the types, and what is a quote unquote good certification?
Right.
How do you find one?
Well, there's multiple levels to it, obviously. I would say that like the baseline level is like your CPT, which is your certified personal trainer. And that's like NASM, ACE, ISSA, any of the ones you see on like advertised on Instagram.
Oh yeah.
And out of all those, I'd say NASM is the most, well known, mm-hmm. And the most expensive,
of course, naturally.
So it's like a lot of people, if they're like trying to like flex on their other trainers, they're like, I'm NASM certified, you know?
Okay.
Like, you know,
like how much more expensive are we talking?
So it's like base, like $550, $600, for the package.
And then like, what is like a lower priced one?
I think I've seen as cheap as like $300 or $400. So
lame flex. I thought that would be a much better flex.
Well, it's that's like,
I really overpaid.
Like the one I got is like the book and the practice test.
Oh, okay.
That's all. And that was a $500 one, you know, and you
I was hoping for like at least like $1,000 flex.
They have like a $2,400 package like, you know,
and this is like tiers.
Yeah. Tiers of like, you know, how much help do you need? And honestly, the certification isn't so wild. As long as you like do the quizzes and do the practice test, you're going
to
pass it.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
So I want to, so now that you've actually mentioned what a good certification is.
Well, that's like entry level.
Okay, we'll talk about, so entry level, but what is like, should people be wary of any type of certification like an entry level? Like, this is complete bullshit, don't waste your money on it, save another $100.
Well, I hate to jump ahead, but basically what that CPT does for you is allow you to be insured, which is like important if you're going to be training clients outside of like LA Fitness.
Do insurance companies only not accept certain ones?
As far as I know, as long as it has a serial number at the bottom, your certification,
okay.
You're good.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's like the three that I mentioned all fit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not that prevalent. There's not like a lot of ones that are like totally shitty. It's like, as long as,
well, there are like sometimes if you go work for like EOS or LA Fitness, they have their own in-house certification. And those, I don't think allow.
They don't transfer.
They don't. If you try and like do your own thing, you're not going to get insured.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about the EOS and LA stuff in a second here.
Yeah.
Okay, so you said that that's base level. Like, how high up can you get in the certification? I guess barring getting a bachelor's or a master's in it. Like,
well, yeah, there's like different levels. You can go get like specialized certifications. That's like CrossFit level one, kettlebell mm-hmm. cert. You can get like nutrition certs. You can get like, you know, strength and, you know, perform or power training and stuff mm-hmm. like that. I don't know, just like there's a bunch of different little things like that that just like can help build your resume. And those I think are cool, like especially if you want to be a specialization trainer, like on powerlifting or like CrossFit or something like yeah. that. And then there's like the next level, which is like what Josh did, you know, with his, you know, Exos cert or like CSCS,
okay,
you know, which is like what people get after they get like a bachelor's in, you know, exercise and wellness or kinesiology.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So that's like the breaking into like the college and professional athlete realm.
Right okay.
There. Yep.
Okay. So there's paths you can take, I'm sure. And there's costs that come with that.
Right.
Okay. So it's not like you just, so for those of you who are looking to work with athletes at some point, it's like, you're going to have to.
With like a team.
Yeah. yeah
you're not going to work for a team unless you have your CSCS or your Exos or something like that. Got it.
Yeah. Okay. So let's say mm-hmm. I'm a bright eyed bushy tail young man, mm-hmm. We'll say like I have an associate's degree in some kind of exercise science. I got my base level certification, mm-hmm. That I paid $500 for, and I can flex on people with it.
Right.
And I am now full fledged ready to go. What should I expect out of the gate?
You're going to expect that if you don't work for a box gym, that you're going to have to struggle to find clients, that it's going to mm-hmm. be a battle, not of like, hey, am I, you know, helping these clients lose weight, but am I continuing to renew and resell to new clients as I lose them?
Become sales again.
Right. So it goes back on like sales and marketing. So it's like we were talking about this before. You kind of have to choose like, do I want to double down on like my sales and marketing, or do I want to just focus on training?
Which I actually do want to talk about that, because you told me what your answer that was, but your recommendation is, should someone join up with a train, not necessarily in LA or in EOS, but like any kind of training company,
yeah,
and refine their training process first? Or do you think it's fine to just jump into it and hope for the best with the marketing and sales?
I think unless you've like have a lot of social validation and proof, that it's a lot easier to like get that with another company like LA Fitness, Big Box Gym, or some private company like what I did with Five Star, mm-hmm. you know. And it's like, I don't necessarily intend on like leaving Five Star and doing my own thing unless things go bad. But it's like, I think that it allowed me to really flourish and develop my skill and my personality as a trainer, without worrying about, am I going to have another client come in next week to fill my session?
It sets you up in a position to where you can say, even if I'm new and no one believes me, mm-hmm. there's going to be some clients that get sent my way because I work for this company.
Right. And it's really good to learn the basics, because you're putting so many new people's faces, and like you have so much more interaction than you would on your own, that I think it allows me to like get and double up on my XP as a trainer, because I'm like, I had like the double XP perk because I was just in front of so many more faces than I would on my own. I think
that's a way to look at it. And then, yeah. So someone who does that for a long time, they can then say like, okay, I know what to do.
Yeah.
And even if you were to start with no clients all over again, you know, you have,
I know I can produce skills. Results. Yeah. I know I can do that.
So you might have to like start from somewhere else and mm-hmm. like take an L for a while. But mm-hmm. you could eventually rebuild that book.
Right.
Which is probably, I think a lot of people will become trainers and they're like, why am I not making money? Why can't I get clients? It's like, well, dude, first of all, you're young, and it sucks mm-hmm. to say, but a lot of people just don't think young people know what the hell they're doing.
Right.
But they will accept a young person if he's got the backing of a company or an older person that says
right.
he's good at this.
Exactly. Yeah. If he's socially tested and proven, then it's much more likely to get the benefits of that.
Well, we talked about insurance and liability. It's mm-hmm. Obvious when you work for a company, you're going to be insured through the company,
right?
Unless you're a contractor, which is
and still a yeah. lot of time they have like insurance or yeah. liabilities in the contract.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you were to be by yourself, like how does insurance and liability like work?
It's not that crazy. The normal standard is like $1 million coverage, mm-hmm. you know, for injury and stuff like that. For your clients, and that's like $200-$250 a month or a year. So it's nothing
crazy. That much a year?
Yeah, it's like $250 a year. Something pretty simple like that. So it's nothing crazy, but it is important because like a lot of private facilities, like if you want to train out of like a, as an independent trainer, you have to have that in order.
So to those of you out there with the term is trapping.
Trapping, yes, which I've done.
You need to make sure that you're covering your ass, and if you're not doing that kind of stuff, just
know that if you want to work for or work at a good gym, you're going
to
need it.
Like if you want to be legit, yeah. there's fees. There's some pay to play involved there. Mm-hmm. And as much as a lot of us would want to fight against it, do what's right by you and your clients.
Mm-hmm. One thing I've seen Five Star do that they do well is they have a really good liability portion in the contract. Mm-hmm. So it's like before everyone even starts, they're signing that like they are clear for injury. They're not currently like, you know, hiding any injuries that's going to show up mid workout, and that they are accepting that, you know, they're responsible for their, you know, coordination and safety.
Yeah, you better believe there's somebody who signed up with a trainer once, and it's like, hey, no, I'm fine. It's like actually has a brittle bone disease diagnosis that they're keeping from you.
Like one, bro, this happened to me, no joke. I was having this girl do step-ups, and she didn't tell me that her ankle was, like, fractured. And she, like, came down from the step-up, and boom. Like, fucking broke it and rolled it right in front of me.
She just ankle. Thought it was going to be fine?
Yeah. And she didn't tell me or anything, didn't disclose it. And
that's why we signed paperwork.
Yeah. I mean, she admitted it was her fault. Thank God she wasn't, like, you know, out to get something out of it. But,
just silly. Just silly.
Yeah.
Just heal. And, you know, I guess, what do you think makes, like, a good trainer for all of this? Because it's obviously talked about the salesperson, the being a good trainer at its core as the activity, but like what culminates into a good trainer who's going to be successful in the long term?
I think it's two parts, two big parts on this one. And one is like not being afraid to continue to your education and knowledge. Like just because you've got your cert and you've like, you know, done a show doesn't mean that you know everything as far as your training. I think that as a trainer, you should lead by example and continue to seek guidance and furthering of your training knowledge yourself.
Okay. So continued growth.
Yep. I think that's number one, huge, especially because everything is updating with as science gets better. Mm-hmm. And then two, I think this is another big one, is caring about your clients' goals as much as they care about them. Mm-hmm. Because it's like that's how you know you found a trainer that's going to work well with you, is if they are, you know, like passionate about your goals, just like you should be. They shouldn't just be like, good, we're gonna lose some fat. You know, it's like,
yeah,
they're coming in and entrusting you with their fitness and their future. And it's like, if you don't take that seriously, then I think that's you're not being a good trainer.
And I think sometimes even recognizing the goal is not what they think the goal is. It's like,
right,
I want to be less fat. It's like, no, really, you want to be more confident. It's like, oh, I want to look like that's an Instagram true. Model. It's like, no, like you really just want to be like, appear better for like your significant other. It's like this, you kind of got to read in between the lines sometimes of like, you think this is what you want, and then you help them guide that. And sometimes they walk away being like, wow, like I came in here thinking that I wanted to do this, but at the end of the day, like I found like where my thing is. And I think that comes from being like an attentive trainer and a good overall person.
Right. And another thing, and this is something that my current trainer is telling me, is he's like, don't be, because, you know, things were unpredictable for a while. And like, there was a lot of stuff with, you know, like, am I going to have clients? Are we going to have a job? Mm-hmm. Is the gym still going to be open? And he's like, look, as long as you can get people results, you will always have clients.
Exactly.
And I think that's true. It's like, as long as other people are saying that, hey, I lost 15 pounds with, you know, Wes or whatever. And like, then people will continue to hit you up for training.
I think that's, it's all word of mouth is always going to be the biggest thing of all time.
Yeah.
Fat people got fat friends. And then when they lose weight, all their fat friends are going to be like, wow.
Yeah. The coronavirus kills fat people. So sign up for training.
Wild dogs, coronavirus, Wes is here to train you for both.
Exactly.
Well, I think that was actually, I think that's a good wrap up for that. I think we'll expand on that in the future at some point if people find that interesting, but we are coming at the hour, so we will wrap this up. We are going to give a brief announcement, and we as in me, for the Dimitri Does It update. We are currently a failure. We are America after the Vietnam War. But you know what we do after losing a war? We start another war.
And get the economy rolling again with another war. Let's go.
Let's go, economic engine, military-industrial complex. we've talked about it and we're looking into it, and I'm going to decide how I'm going to do it longer and actually approach it in a way that's actually useful and effective and entertaining, because mm-hmm. the carnivore diet was an absolute failure, and I will come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
You look out, Vietnam. And I'm going to be looking at doing what I consider to be potentially easier diet, which is going to be going vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't decided for how long yet, because we talked about how part of the potential reason why the carnivore diet went wrong is that I went for a month out mm-hmm. initially. But being stupid, I think I might try and go for a month again.
Okay.
We'll see what happens. I'm hoping to start this. I don't know. It's June. What is it, June?
We got like a week left in June.
A week left in June?
Yeah.
We'll see if I start it in July.
Okay.
I'm going to say strong likelihood that I do July, and I'm not happy about that at all.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping that we were not so deep.
Yeah.
But we will see, and we will keep you posted on that. I do think it'll be much easier because, with vegetarian and stuff, like eggs and cheese.
Oh, so you're going to do it? You're still going to keep like dairy and eggs in there?
Well, that's vegan.
Yeah. I don't know. I get confused. I feel like regular vegetarian has kind of just like disappeared, you know?
I think regular vegetarians are just normal people now. It's like we used to make fun of vegetarians and vegans showed up. And it was like, now it's like, oh, you don't eat meat? Point. Like, you don't think of the word vegetarian, you think person doesn't eat meat.
Yeah.
It's like, that's, now you think like vegan. Like, those are the people who are annoying. It's like vegetarians, it was like, oh, yeah, I don't eat beef.
Yeah, okay. Well,
I don't support factory farming. And it's like, before you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
Now it's like, I don't eat honey because it takes advantage of the bees. It's like, wait, what?
The bees have to work extra hard.
Like, I actually make sure all of my shampoo is entirely fair use and only made by humans.
Yes.
No animal parts. But I'm not allowed to talk shit about vegans yet. Hopefully we'll do that at some point. Hopefully we will. I'm sorry, me. Moving on from that, we do have a few listener questions for Kendall's Corner.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle. G.I.
Joe. Our first question.
Yes.
How do you know if you're in a caloric deficit?
Well, this is very simple, and a lot of people overlook this. You're losing weight. That's the answer.
No, it's not true. I'm not eating a lot of food. I'm still fat. I must be.
Yes, I didn't eat anything yesterday. I was definitely in a deficit. Well, did the scale go down at the end of the week?
I actually love this conversation.
Yes.
I love this conversation because I have been this person where you are like super stressed. It was like college. Like you're super stressed out. You're like, dude, I barely eat. Mm-hmm. I'm not eating anything. And how am I not losing weight? I don't understand. Maybe I have a hormone disorder.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no. What actually happened was is you ate like 4,000 calories in Whataburger the night before.
Yeah.
And then you grazed a little bit during the day. Usually it was just high sugar, like candy bars or protein bar or something. Mm-hmm. And then you never really had a substantial meal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pretty much maintain that gorging to grazing on high sugar things throughout your entire life.
And that Starbucks Frappuccino.
Exactly. And which all adds up to, no, you're not at a caloric deficit. You're just feeling like shit.
Right. Yeah, it's funny because a lot of people overcomplicate this one. And I think that, yes, there are like exceptions and, you know, gray areas and everything. And it's like, look, if you're recomping at the same weight, yes, you're mm-hmm. technically, you know, in, well, I don't know, you're not really in a deficit. You kind of are. It's like, if you're recomping and you're new, you can do that at a deficit. But if you're like advanced and you're just at the same weight all the time, then it's like you just have to push it a little bit more on it.
It's definitely new people. It's hard because like if you're gaining muscle and losing fat, like the scale does not do you any favors. It's like the mirror 3 weeks from now.
Right. Exactly. Like if you're new or you're getting back into it after months of mm-hmm. being off, you're going to recomp, lose fat, gain muscle at the same weight. And that's just going to happen for a while, for like 2 to 3 months.
Yeah.
But then after that, once that stops and you're still not losing weight, you're not really in a deficit. You got to drop it a little bit more or do more cardio or something.
And it's going to be hard. It's going to suck. And just retraining your brain.
Yeah.
Next question.
Okay. How much protein do you really need? And I think that's a moving target.
I want to agree, but also my answer is very static. Give the same answers as everybody
because
I'm the worst. What is an actual correct answer?
Well, the book says you need 0.5 to 1.2 grams per kilogram, depending on...
1.2 is very high.
Yes. Well, I said kilograms.
Oh, kilograms. Sorry.
Yes.
I go kilograms. By pounds.
Yeah. Right. Book answer.
Yeah, book answer. Kilograms. Europe. I use freedom units.
Freedom units. What is this, KG, that you're talking about? Communists?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so per kilogram. So that's the book answer. I think that that number varies based on, obviously, your lifestyle and training and your diet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're eating a lower carb diet, I think your protein needs to come up a little bit for muscle maintenance reasons. And this isn't necessarily scientifically proven. I know you can like balance the deficit where you're not going to lose muscle with a normal protein intake. But I'm telling you from ease of use and what's that term for things going wrong?
Oh.
It's not Murphy's Law. It's dang, I can't remember. It's like entropy.
Entropy.
Entropy. Chaos. Because of entropy, because of, you know, practicality and ease of use, let's just bring the protein intake up to like 1 pound per body weight, pound of body weight.
One gram per pound.
Yes, let's just do that.
Yeah, that's easy.
Okay.
Math.
I mean, it's like it's probably more than you will actually use, but it's going to save you some headaches. I'm telling you from experience.
Yep. One gram per pound is usually the easiest.
When you're going low carb.
Yeah. And you can go lower. It's like, yes. It doesn't need to be that high, especially for people who aren't like strength training. It's right. Like what, like 1.75.
Mm-hmm.
It's if you're getting 1.75 or higher, like you're probably going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, shit, it's tough, but I think that that's not asking too much. It's like, especially if you're, you know, like looking to save muscle during a cut.
I'm also now realizing I said 1.75, which is a shit ton. 0.75.
Oh, okay.
0.75 to 1.
Yeah.
That is that's going to be enough protein, which is for a lot of people actually really high because you don't mm-hmm. eat as much protein as you think you do.
Right.
But protein shakes exist, and with some tweaking, you can get there.
Yes, and chicken wings are easy to eat.
Hell yeah, they are.
Okay, so if you're eating more of a balanced diet as far as like, I would say 30% carbs or more,
mm-hmm.
I'd say like the 0.8 per kilogram is totally fine.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Sweet.
Cool. All right. I think that's good for that one.
Okay. Last question is, can you train 6 days a week?
I think that you can, but should you? Depends on your goals.
Depends. Like also, how hard are you hitting it?
Right. I have a client and you met him. He was one of the younger guys in Avondale.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very enthusiastic about the sport of bodybuilding and mm-hmm. Instagram and doing all this stuff. And like, he's like basically watching all the YouTube videos and trying to do everything.
Yeah.
Right. That was the same kid when I was that age. Yeah. That was me. And he's like team knows days off. So he's trying to do something like 6-7 days a week in the gym. And like, I'm trying to explain to him, it's like, what's the purpose of you working out? He's like, I love it, man. It's my passion. You know, it's my enjoyment for the day. And it's like, yes, that's good. And that's going to allow you to have longevity in this.
Mm-hmm.
But the purpose of you working out in the gym is to break down and rebuild muscle. And that's it. Right. And if you're not doing that and you're not able to, you're recovering and ready and strong enough to do that again the next day, because you work out 6 or 7 days a week, then you're not accomplishing that.
Yeah.
So I think that like, 6 days a week, if you're cutting and you know that you're not going to build any muscle, is okay. But if you're trying to make gains, it's too much.
I feel like he needs to pick up like yoga.
Yeah, or like...
Or like, something. I don't know, like some kind of
MMA
like,
or something.
Yeah, exactly. MMA, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, just like something you do on his off days.
Yeah.
Something that's like... Because like the term is active recovery, mm-hmm. which very, 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 very few people actually do. It's like you have your lifting days... And then you either go on like hikes mm-hmm. or you go on like walks or you're doing like hot yoga or yoga and or MMA, like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, that like your mileage may vary. Some people hit it really hard. It might as well have just been another lifting day. But yeah, you're right. I've never been a team no days off. And it used to be because of that reason. Now it's just because I freaking life is in the way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things where it's like sometimes, especially as you get older, all you're doing is putting it builds up. You're more compromised. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly something happens and congratulations. Now you're taking 2 weeks off.
Yeah. Now you blew a hamstring and you're fucking out of it for a while.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the same thing we've talked about with like doing deload weeks.
Yeah.
It's some people are so excited about the process that they refuse to understand that like the process involves like taking recovery. A step back. It's like you gotta build back up.
Yep.
But yeah, I think that's an easy one. Can you? Yes. Should you? Perhaps not.
Probably not. I guess you can get away with it when you're younger and when you're not like lifting as heavy, but as you get stronger, you're going to need more and more recovery.
Yeah. And you can do something every day. Like there's people who run 7 days a week.
Yeah.
I frankly don't recommend that for the vast majority of people because you're going to blow out a knee, but that doesn't mean, oh, I need to take one day where I do nothing. You just do something different.
Yeah. I mean, I would say most weeks I do at least something every day, whether that be like a morning cardio or like, you know, just do some abs and, you know, do the elliptical or something.
Yeah.
Like
not every day has to be like a big day.
Right.
And not every, no. And you don't, and if you're that guy and it gives you anxiety not to just sit on the fucking couch, first of all, love you. We need people like you. Second, just stretch.
Right.
Well, I think that has about covered everything we have for the day. It was a little bit of a spotty all over the place day. That's because I was out and walking around in mountains. But I think overall we covered some good topics, which I was happy about.
Yeah, I think we provided some helpful stuff, you know, especially like no one's really talking about how to boost your immune system. They're just talking about like, make sure you wear your mask everywhere.
Like avoid people.
Yes.
But okay, like, well, let's consider like maybe how could we defend ourselves at the last line? Like we're setting up these borders.
Yes.
But we're not building up the castle walls.
Exactly.
So it's like, yeah, I mean, the borders are great.
Yeah.
But also, we talked, they tried to build a wall in Mexico. Look how that went. Right. So how about you defend your house?
Yep.
What a fucking stupid analogy. Well, it has been great, guys. We'll have you again next week. Thank you as always for listening. You can find us at BNS_radio. You can find me at Dimitri Sebastian on Instagram.
You can find me at WKendall_MFT on Instagram or Wesley Kendall on Facebook. So check us out.
Sweet, guys. Well, we will see you next time. You have a good one.